What's up, everybody? It's Chad. I'm back again with another episode of Ask Chad Grassy Logic. I'm back with my buddy Cruz here again, aka Stonehead. He's here with me again. He was here last year, and we're doing an update episode. How's it going, Cruz?
Good. How have you been, man?
I've been good, man. Staying busy. You know, I know you've been staying busy too.
Heck yeah, heck yeah. It doesn't stop. Always moving.
Yeah, it's always a hustle. It never stops, man. So like I said, you know, you were on the show last year and everything. So, I mean, refresh everybody's memory. You know, go ahead and introduce yourself.
Well, my name is Cruz. I run the Stonehead page, which I pretty much just do reviews on hash around the state locally. And yeah, that's pretty much it. Venture out here and there, actually. Yeah, do a head stash. We're starting to do some out-of-state stuff. So
cool. Would you mind sharing some of that or?
Oh, yeah. No, I don't know. It's just like since last time, I was just pretty much just straight doing the whole New Mexico thing. And we're still doing that, finding out new companies because there's more and more and more coming out, which is always great. But like expanding it a little bit more because like into just different states and people are watching is it's just cool. You know what I mean? I don't know. It's the page has grown since then. And I never really noticed either. It was kind of wild. I was just kind of doing what I was doing, you know, the whole time until I looked up. I was just like, what the heck is going on? And then I finally realized, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, it's cool. I actually looked at your page. You know, you're at 2,000 followers on the Instagram page, and that's great. You know, of course, you got the YouTube going and, you know,
whole YouTube thing is just to try and bring it like a voice to the people behind the scene that does everything right, because everyone sees the end product and their pages, but this kind of shows you like the people that I personally feel deserve to be highlighted in the state, right? And that give me the opportunity to be there and disrupt all their peace and just pay the respect that they deserve, you know, and letting me do like my style, my edit, and just working together to get it out there.
Yeah, definitely. Because I mean, it's cool because you help with brand awareness with certain companies, you know, and a lot of people, you know, hold your opinion in high regard, which is cool. You know, you're fair, too. That's the best part. You know, you're not like bought out by somebody and, you know, doing the reviews for them. So that's really cool. And, you know, you're transparent. You know, if someone gives it to you, like, yeah, it was given to me. You know, this was given to me or whatever. You know, I bought it. And I'm pretty sure that, you know, people appreciate that too. Of course, you know, there's a flip side.
It's just, I feel like a lot of people have had yes men around them for so long, and it's just different when people tell them like, hey, look, this isn't that great. Like, honestly, and it's just like, okay, maybe I do need to step down. Step down on the pedal and really get after it, you know, because back then that was the whole goal. Was the mission is really trying to get people to chase after something, do better and get better, right? And here we are, which is cool, you know. And it's just in our state, and it's as big as it needs to be because it works. It's a great time, man. I enjoy it. It's fun.
Yeah, I enjoy your reviews too. You actually do a really good job. You know, the production quality of it is, you know, top notch. You know, like it really rivals a lot of other people on Instagram who have big, huge accounts. You know, it really rivals those with like the type of quality that you do in your videos. I've been in a couple myself, but you know, it's really cool to see when you're working. You know, there's times where we're kicking it and you're still working doing your camera stuff, and then you get to see the end product. I'm like, oh, that's what he was doing.
yeah, of course. I always just try to pay respect to everyone around us too, you know, not really show any faces because I never know anything like that. But yeah, I try to, production's huge for me. I don't know. And it's not something that you necessarily need, right? I use like a camera and everything, right? But you don't even need anything like that.
Yeah.
In reality, I've always liked really high quality things. And I said, if I'm going to do it, I just want to do something that I would personally watch. And that's kind of how I've navigated it. Even since the beginning, it's just like, dang. I like this. I enjoy watching this. And then I just put it out there and it just so happens that there's like-minded people, you know, and that's kind of the production side of it is just really that you're a viewer at the end of the day too.
Yeah. I mean, you don't want to put something out that you wouldn't watch yourself, you know?
Exactly. And then you just, the product is a product. It speaks for itself every time too.
Yeah, 100%. You know, it's really great quality. You know, the audio, the video, the visuals, everything is just great. You know, you pay respect to the product itself. You know, showing it off, the packaging. You know what it looks like consistency wise. Because I can show you on the camera here what something looks like, but you get a big camera you have. You know, you get a really good angle and view, and you know the color and everything. You know, don't worry, it's not adding blue light. So you know that what you're looking at is most likely what you're going to see in person as a representation.
Yeah, exactly.
On camera, you know, it's hard to show exactly what something looks like sometimes because we have no clue what it's going to come out, you know, to at the end of the day, or someone else's, you know, phone may be different quality. You know what I mean? And like what they see on the screen is different what I see on the screen, you know, because of the quality. You know, like some people have those really cheap phones, you know, and they don't have the best quality in the world. My producer's gawking at me right now.
Yeah, of course. No. But honestly, everyone's iPhone now should be good enough, right? Even like Samsung phones. That's what I started with. Like, yeah, but I wanted to make sure I was really good at it. And then that's whenever I was like, oh, I'm really enjoying this. And let's dig down a little bit deeper. And then that's whenever I upgraded the equipment and then really started to like edit, because I've enjoyed editing for like a while, since I was like a kid pretty much, right?
Yeah.
So it just goes into that. And I was just like, I can do this again, even though I forgot. So I kind of had to teach myself, but I had the gist of everything.
Yeah.
So it's just goes into that end product of the production value. I don't know. It's just.
So what changes have you made in the last year, you know, on the production and everything? Speaking of, have you added anything? Have you kind of taken anything out?
No, just upgrading the camera, really. I've had the same microphones since day one. That hasn't changed. Like audio quality, I was like, I have a good microphone. So that had to be like on point, right? The audio. I was like, well, if I'm going to sacrifice a little bit of the visual, at least the audio can be super crisp. And then whenever I upgraded this, it just kind of looks a lot better. Everything matches now. So
yeah,
that's really all I've really changed. No, that's a lie. I just set up a whole corner, like just to film, because I used to like set up and then take it down, set up and then take it down. And I was just like, I'm doing this way too often. Let me just set up a designated space. And that's kind of what I've been working with. That's the change. Yep.
Okay. Yeah.
I was just looking at it right now.
So you have your little area where you do everything. So I think everybody has like their own little area where they like to make content. You know, like even myself, even though like my content is the most simple because I'm just getting information out. You know, and sometimes I need to get it out quick. So there's like two parts of my house I really like to use. You know, one has like anime posters behind me, and the other one's my living room with some military stuff in the background. You know, so like that's kind of what I do. But yeah, everyone has like their own little area they like to use and make content. And I did notice that change from your earlier videos to now, that you know it does look more like a designated spot for it, you know.
Yeah, and the vision's constantly changing, you know what I mean? My mind, obviously, ideas constantly fluctuate. It's just like, let's do this, let's do that. And sometimes ideas stick, sometimes they don't. I was changing scenery for a bit, and I thought of doing some crazy ideas, and then I just ended up doing this because I just like the way that it looks too. And who knows, maybe one time another time I'll go to a crazy area and do something like that. I don't know.
So it's just the white sand.
I'm having fun with it at the end of the day, right?
Yeah.
It's just enjoying the time.
Yeah. And you could tell when you're having fun because, you know, when it comes out, it's just like, oh, that was fun to watch. You know, like if it's fun to watch, it's probably fun to make.
Yeah. Of course.
Fun all around. What are some tips you can give people that are getting into this? You know, like maybe your top three tips.
That's kind of a tough one. I mean, just be true to the product, really, and be respectful of the plant. I mean, that's kind of what I try to do as much as possible, right? Because I don't want to parade it around either. It's just like, this is a product, this is what it is, and this is like what it tastes like, and this is the rating. I mean, that's kind of just what it's been for me, just to keep it like, the product is a product, I'm not trying to parade it around, if that makes sense. Like, just a respectful way of doing it.
Yeah, you're not in for it for stoner time, you know. Like that's what I've noticed about you. You know, like you smoke and you try it, but it's not like, oh yeah, bro, this and that, you know, and talking about some weird stuff or whatever. You know, it's a 1-2 minute video. You're just telling them how it is. It's very straightforward, and you get what you get. You know, and it's great because you know it's straight to the point. It's you know, there's a lot of good information that comes from it, and it's entertaining. You know, within a minute or two, which is really where the content is going these days is like within a minute or two, you know, nothing like the 30 minutes like my show. But, you know, like there's a lot of educational stuff that, you know, needs to be out there. And a lot of people still listen. But, you know, when it comes to like what you're doing, oh, man, the 1-2 minute videos, those are golden, you know, golden all the way.
Yeah, I don't even know, man. I like doing the long form stuff, too, like the whole YouTube thing, man. That's fun.
Yeah,
all of it's just a good time. I'm just trying to, it's all for the community. I'm just trying to build it up and show that New Mexico does have a scene, right? That we are out there, that we do have good smoke. And I want to be able to represent it, like as far as Stonehead is to represent like, hey, these are the good brands around the state, right? Like, yeah. These are people that are really, really good. You guys should trust them. It's just that sort of thing. And really dialing it down and continue to search for that, because as obviously every day goes by, there's going to be more and more people that are opening, you know, more and more dispensaries, and that are going to want to do single source, or that just want to do their own washes and things like, you know, so it's just going to expand more and more.
Yeah,
100%. As it has already.
Yeah, and we're what, 2 weeks away from our 2-year anniversary for adult sales, you know. Yep. So it's, you know, sky's the limit, really. And you know, there's a lot of things changing in the industry. A couple of weeks ago, I tried to say that, you know, the industry's in its it's getting weird phase, you know, like, because like things are getting kind of weird in the industry. There's a lot of weird mergers happening. A lot of people are starting to get out of the industry who you think wouldn't, you know, the corporate companies who you thought were going to be doing great, their sales are terrible, you know. So there's a lot of stuff that has happened in the last 2 years, and it will continue to happen. So yeah, you know, we're still early on, that we have no clue what's going to happen. We could have just later on this year, you know, 4 or 5 hash rosin companies come online that are just fire, you know, and then they just take everybody by surprise. Cause I know a few that you reviewed, I'm like, who the hell is that? And like, just taking me by surprise myself. So I mean, exactly. It happens. Actually, I tried some flower over at Astra's at Queen Bee's the other day. Well, not tried, but she showed me some flour, and I was like, where is this from? She told me. I was like, what? And so it's someone hooked her up with it, man. He's got some fire. So I mean,
there's a lot more flour now that's top quality. We're seeing more and more of it, which is great, right? Especially in the rec market. Yeah. It's finally here, and we're going to continue to see that more and more, as long as you know where to look for it too, kind of, because
It there's a lot of mids out there still. Like the Texans don't really care what they're getting, because you know it's illegal there, so they're getting whatever they can. And you know, Sunland Park is, I love Sunland Park, what they've done, but it's kind of the land of mids for that reason, because there's just so much output there that they're just putting out whatever they can. Don't get me wrong, there's certain places that do have quality, but it's not as much like if you come to Cruces, you can find better quality than you can find down in Sunland Park usually. Just because there's just more options of different brands. You know, it's just, they're just slinging weed out there like it's nothing. You know, like I think they made like $47 million or something like that, you know, just since we've started. And that's a little ridiculous for 17,000 people in the city, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah. So go ahead. I'm sorry.
No. You're fine.
Okay. My bad. So I wanted to talk to you about merch too. You know, we got a little on side topic, which is great because it was a good conversation. So do you have anything in mind? I know you've been coming out with stuff here and there. The mood mats were one thing that, you know,
Put out for a while. Those projects are definitely fun. It's funny that you ask, because I actually just got some in that are the next drop. I have some collaborations that I'm working on with some, you know, local New Mexico people. So it's going to be cool, man. I've talked to some people that definitely said that they're into the idea. It's just taking the one step at a time, right? Because there's drops ahead of it. So I'm trying to stay constant with it.
Yeah, for sure, man. Well, I mean, that's cool that you're doing that, you know. And if you guys don't know, listening out there, mood mat, actually, do you have one that you can show somebody? You don't have to show one of the ones you're coming out with, just one that you happen to have.
Yeah.
It's essentially just it's almost like recycled foam. And it has cool art on it. That's one of the weird drops, right?
Yeah,
that one's gorgeous. I love that one. And there's cool art on it, you know, there's different types. You essentially, to put your rigs on, I use it for my bong, because it's glass, and so you when you put it on the table, you don't want it to break, and it gives it a good cushion. And they're cool to look at, you know, 2-in-1 little art piece and something that you can use too. So yeah, he comes out with those. Do you do t-shirts too sometimes, right?
Yeah, I do those on occasions.
Every once in a while.
That's right. Because those ones are a lot of hard work because it takes a long time to make sure I get all the small details down because I do everything kind of by hand. I make sure, like, not sewing the tag. Shout out to my mom for that. I was going to do it, and she kicked me out and said, let her do it because she enjoys doing her crafts and stuff, which is super dope for her to do so. And yeah, the last drop was definitely meaningful too because I worked with some of my homies, which is always dope because they're graphic designers too. So
yeah,
it's just a good time.
That's dope, man. You know, it's cool, including the homies and everything, trying to get, you know, more notoriety for them. And that's dope. You know, we're all in this together. And, you know, this New Mexico community and culture grows all the time and it's getting better. Because when we were medical, there was like no cannabis community culture whatsoever. You know, it was like all in Albuquerque. And you told me yourself, you just stayed at home.
Yeah, I was just
just sitting there chilling.
Yeah, so. They're chilling. And then I just started uploading videos one day. I'm like, damn, there's actually something pretty good out here. Let's talk about it. Who the hell do I share this with?
Yeah, right.
And it turned exactly into this, bro. It's honestly really, really amazing to see like the steps that we've made, you know, as a whole community.
And, oh, 100%.
Yeah, it's glad to see some friends thriving and all that, and people that I've made like friends and family with. It's a great community to be a part of.
I agree, because you know that's how you and I, you know, met and became friends, and you know, like,
exactly
stuff. Yeah, that's exactly how it happened. You know, actually, I met you in person at the Hash and Hetty's, the very first Hash and Hetty's, and I guess we'll use this as a way to talk about the Hash and Hetty's that you've actually judged. So you've been a judge at every Hash and Hetty's, right?
Yes.
Yeah. That's dope, man. That's cool. Yeah, how do you like doing that? And if those of you out there who don't know, Hash and Hetty's is a hash rosin competition that's recently taken off here in New Mexico in the last year or so. I think they're going on the third one.
Yeah, it's going to be the third one coming up. Yeah. So, I mean, judging is always awesome, especially getting chosen for it, right? Because you have to meet a certain criteria just to show kind of just to be like, hey, look, I'm serious. I really do smoke. I know what I'm talking about sort of thing, right?
Yeah.
So it's great to get together. And it's kind of just like all this amazing glass with like-minded people. It's just a community within a community too.
Yeah.
You know, and it's kind of just like an art gallery. Pretty much walking around, seeing everything, everyone smoking, and then really like judging and trying to figure out, hey, like what's really good out there. Because at the end of the day, whenever, you know, the hash smokers understand, like it's just we're constantly chasing those amazing profiles. And that's kind of why I like reviewing is really trying to chase those and being true to it, right? Like that's what I'm saying. If you're going to do it, just be true to it. Really, really look for it. Because you'll never, ever be content.
No. I mean, I'm always looking for the best of flavors and the craziest flavors.
Exactly. I'm constantly switching jars and stuff like that. I'm looking for new things, what I'm hearing here and there that's going to be super duper good. And it's, yeah.
That's dope, man. You know, and it's like on the grow side too, even being a grower, you know, you want to change up your flavors that you grow. You know, I've let you smell a couple. I know one you didn't like at all, but I didn't even like that one. So I warned you about that one.
Exactly. I'll never lie to you, Chad.
I wasn't lying to you. I was like, careful. I don't like that one either. I was like, oh. And I appreciate the honesty. You know, I was like, okay, you confirmed what I thought. Thank you.
You're not crazy.
Yeah, I'm not crazy. I don't like that smell. Yeah, so I didn't grow that one again. But yeah, you know, then I do appreciate that, you know, on the side there. So yeah, I appreciate the honesty. And, you know, even outside of the reviews, you know, you're honest, and that's what's cool. You know, there's a lot of integrity that comes with it. You got integrity.
Of course. I mean, it's your word at the end of the day, right?
Yeah. And, yeah. We all have a reputation, you know, and
yeah, no, and it goes like, it does nobody any good if you lie to them, especially your friends, right?
Yeah.
Like, why would you tell them that like, damn, this is really good. And it's like, no, it's not.
Yeah. Yeah, it's like, that really ain't, you know, and like, I'll be honest with myself, but tell me some other shit to critique it. You know, I might have not thought of it, you know.
Some people are nose blind because they love their baby so much.
Yeah, you know, 100%. You know, I'm like, I love my plants, but, you know, I'm a grower. You know, I'm not a master grower. I'm not a Jedi grower or anything like that. You know, we're all trying to figure the plant out. You know, there's so much that we don't know about.
Yeah. And everything's constantly changing. We just
you know, just go with the flow, really.
Yeah, exactly, bro. It's just a good time with the community, bro. And
it is. Yeah, yeah. That, like the hash and, you know, the hash and headies is a great time with the community. You know, I have a great time every time I'm there.
Did we get, guys. Damn, we just went way sideways, huh?
Oh, it happens, dude. Yeah.
I was like, it happens on the podcast. We were talking about the hash and heady. Sorry, man. I took a fat dad before.
No, it's okay. Don't worry. You know, I'm in charge of keeping us on track. So, okay. Yeah, don't worry about that. Yeah, no, yeah, so, you're just here to have a conversation.
Shout out to Jeff for the whole hash and headies, man. It's really, it's honestly just a huge community within a community with like-minded people really trying to chase the best flavors out there, right? Because there's constant seasons. The flowers are changing. Flowers changing constantly. People are trying new flavors. So people want to hit like the one, right? People want to hit the one. So this is kind of like steps to really get there. So whenever you're judging, it's just like, dang, this one here, like, okay, how far can we really take it?
Yeah.
I don't know. We're constantly trying to hit that number one just here in the state. Like there's just so much that could be done that we could be known for. And people have been known for it because of hash and headies, right?
Yeah.
Because I talked to these past brands and they said, they've told me themselves that it's really helped elevate them, which is obviously great for them.
Yeah. So no, it is, you know, it's great for brand awareness and getting out there and, you know, just being a part of the community. Cause like we all can be on Instagram and talk to each other and this and that. Yeah. Hope you're doing great. Yeah, this and that. But when you get into a person to person situation, you get to sit down with the other hash makers, you get to talk to them, converse, you know, this and that. And sometimes, you know, you guys become friends and you share tips with each other, you know, like you share, like,
and we're competitors. That's pretty much what it's like behind the scenes. And a lot of people don't even know that.
Yeah. Yeah. We're all friends at the end of the day. You know, like I was with Cruces Craft and, you know, we hung out with Couch Lock. We hung out with Yendo Farms, you know, or Unido Farms now, you know, on the other side. And, you know, we hung out with all the guys, you know, we even hung out with, you know, Z Labs at the, you know, events and stuff too. You know, Zach's a cool guy, you know, so, you know, it was really cool to just really hang out with everybody, you know, and just really see face to what the products have.
Exactly.
Yeah, you know, put a face to the logo, I guess, is what I could really say. So one thing I really want to talk about too was the heady pieces, since we're on the topic of hash and headies. So opinion, from your opinion, what makes a piece heady?
What makes a heady, huh?
So and, I mean, you have one right there. Go ahead and show her off.
No, okay. So I consider this pretty much a heady, right? This is a Major Mids concept piece. It's super tippy because it's a concept piece, but it's kind of like every piece that they blow is always kind of almost going to be unique in its own ways. They can be similar, right?
Yeah.
But you can always see some different, just small little differentiations every time. Like you can see right here where he was just starting that this is uneven, but I love how this thing chugs, right?
Yeah.
And it's still a little heady piece. It's nothing expensive. But it's blown here in America by some glass artist that's really trying to do his thing, you know?
So,
I haven't seen this piece. I need a cleaner. That's what I'm looking
for. So, it's more of an artisan with a different take on what a rig looks like. It's not your conventional kind of look. It's more extravagant, extra, I guess, is what I would say. You know, it doesn't have to be expensive. Just kind of cool looking, little extra, and it's also artisan, right?
Yeah, it's just about the people blowing it, really. You know, it's within the community.
There you go. And that one's beautiful. I love hitting that.
Yeah, this is my baby.
Yeah, yeah. I've got to use that one a couple
times. I use that one all the time. I've been dry dabbing it for some weird reason, but I've been enjoying it. And then there's even artsy pieces, you know.
We're going to get a dragon treat now. Oh, is this my favorite?
Yeah.
Oh, I know. The giraffe's my favorite.
There's people out there with some amazing pieces, bro. And I hope to get one day, right? Mm-hmm. But like this right here, this would be super heady, you know?
Yeah.
It's an artsy piece too.
Very unique. You know, like that's what's okay. So that's one thing that I get asked a lot, you know, from people like, well, what makes it heady? And I'm like, to be honest, I don't know if there's a criteria, to be honest. You know, I don't know. If someone that calls their piece heady, what they think about what makes something heady in the first place? Is it price? Is it the artist, et cetera, et cetera?
That's not even necessarily the price of anything. I got some heady marbles that aren't expensive, right?
Yeah. They're
just blown by someone. And I have some marbles that are decently expensive. I don't have anything ridiculous because some people have some crazy marbles, right? Like I wouldn't even call, I wouldn't even necessarily call myself like super heady, right? Because I've seen some people that are like mega heady. I'm like, okay, that's wild.
Because I mean, at the Hashin Headies, we had that guy had the phaser gun. Remember that phaser gun rig? That shit was so cool.
Yeah, now there's some wild rigs out there. So you go like Hashin Headies has some crazy, crazy rigs out there. So it's just like I know what I like. Like my Robertson, that's one of my favorite artists. I made sure I grabbed it, and now I have my eye on a different gym. So I'm just like, maybe I should get something like that. So it's just constantly ever changing. It's just, it's functional art is what it is, you know?
There you go. Functional art, you know, and that's great. You know, so for those of you out there who wanting to start doing content or maybe get into the heady community, because, you know, maybe it's the kind of community you like, maybe you like high quality stuff, you love rosin, and you know, this is your community. So there's a little bit of tidbit for you. You know, I'll ask more people within the heady community to what they think heady is to them, because I wouldn't say it's something new, but it's something that not everybody in the New Mexico landscape really knows a lot about, you know. And what's wrong with getting educated on things, you know?
Yeah.
So, but man, I appreciate you, you know, talking about the headies and stuff like that, because, you know, and sharing those with me, because, you know, that's art, you know, you're sharing your art with me that you have.
Just functional,
you
know, art.
Yeah, yeah.
Like we enjoy smoking, you know, we really do enjoy smoking a lot.
Yeah, we do 100%. So, and I was going to ask you this earlier. So, you know, off the topic of, you know, hash and headies, have you ever read into any issues doing your reviews? And I meant to ask you that earlier, but I forgot.
Like, what do you mean issues?
So I guess people getting mad on the Instagram.
Oh yeah. People don't like it. People don't like the truth, or they're so used to yes men or something like that. I don't know. Or that you're talking trash about their kid, pretty much is what it feels like to them.
Yeah.
And they take it to heart, and that's okay too. If they have a reaction, right? I put it out there. They're allowed to have their reaction. That's fine. It's okay. But okay. I honestly hate doing bad reviews, because I never know how someone else is going to react. I'm just, at the end of the day, I'm just trying to find really good flavors, right? Really good strain, something that stands out, and I'm doing it in the community of New Mexico, and I'm constantly chasing out of the community of New Mexico too, because I really want to chase some special flavors, right? But it just so happens that, hey, this one wasn't that great this time. So it's just, it's going to constantly be coming, because there's so many brands that if I see a new one, I'll pick it up, and then we'll do it that way.
Yeah, 100%. And you know, it's starting to get to the point where they're coming to you too, right?
Yeah. Of course, I've had some people donate product and all that, which is always fun, right? Which is cool, which is like wild, because I never thought that would happen. But at the end of the day, it's the reviewer's responsibility to go out and get the product, so it doesn't matter, right?
Yeah, 100%.
So it's whenever I go into a dispensary to hear about a new brand, I already have a hit list right now for this year, and I'm gonna slowly start getting into that. Yeah, so. And I'm constantly reviewing behind the scenes too, and giving a lot of people feedback. So it just doesn't stop there, right? So I'm constantly moving, constantly smoking, and constantly trying to find the best flavors. So that's just kind of what we do.
And to be honest, you don't know it, but you know, secretly you're kind of making the industry better, or you know, on the consumer side, because you're telling people what's good, what's not good, you know, what's working, what's not. Because I've seen some of the people compete again at the Hashin Headies, and they had terrible reviews essentially, but then they came back the next one and it was significantly better. So you know, reviews and competitions, they only make people better, and it only works if you're actually honest, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's not like some kind of bias, and I appreciate that from you, because you don't bring that to the table. You even tell people sometimes, I'm not going to smoke this, like, you know, like there's no way I'm going to smoke this, and that happens. There's times where I'm like, no.
Yeah, I don't exactly.
Yeah, so I don't blame you.
Yeah, no. I mean, they can say that we're picky or snobby or whatever, but at the end of the day, we're kind of like ruining our lungs. So let's make it worth it, right?
Yeah, yeah.
So I heard that once, and I was just like, let's really, really make it worth it. So, and even then, reviewing, you're always gonna have some questionable stuff. I've had a few. And I mean, that's just what comes with it, right?
Yeah, it comes with. I mean, I used to do reviews back in the day when we were just medical, and back then our quality was mids to low mids. You know, there was really no top quality back then. Yeah, so I totally get it, man, 100%.
Sometimes you got to say no, but sometimes you just gotta bite the bullet and do it.
Yeah, and try it. Yeah, there's been times where for R&D, we'll try something knowing that it's going to be terrible, just so I can know what it tastes like or what a certain issue tastes like. Okay, this is the reason why it tastes like this. Oh, so when I smoke it again, I know that's what that is. Or if I smell that again, I know what that is. Yeah, it sucks, but I guess, you know, for science.
For science.
So, but yeah, man. Well, I appreciate the conversation and everything. And one more thing, you know, you're an Eastern New Mexico boy too, you know, yourself.
Yeah.
Alamogordo is where it starts, I guess, is what I've been told. And you're from, you said Clovis, right?
Yeah.
Because I've actually never, you know, been to your place or anything. So we just kind of run into each other or, you know, you end up over here. So yeah. From the eastern part of the state, how does that culture differ from the rest of the state? You know, oh, I guess, man. I'd mean more or less like Cruces Albuquerque kind of question.
I guess at least where I'm at, right? And the people, I don't know. I kind of more Western, I guess. More true. Cowboys. Texas, like right on the border of Texas.
That's true. Know?
So I'd say that's the biggest difference. I hear some lingo that I've never heard before come from Albuquerque and Las Cruces, right? Which is wild because I've always been in my own little corner. I'm just like, oh, whoa. And then you guys made me start saying some things too.
Oh, like what?
I'm not going to say it. I broke the habit already.
Don't worry, we'll bring it back.
I know.
He's like, that's what I hate. Oh, that's awesome, man. Yeah, and that's funny, man, because like when I moved to Cruces, and even now I'm finding out that, you know, I have a very slight twang and draw, and so certain words that I say, I'll get laughed at here, you know, because just the way that I said it, I'm like, did I say it funny? Like, what the hell's going on? So yeah, you know, it's one of those things. So don't worry, we'll bring the inappropriateness back. So, but anyway, man, I really appreciate the conversation and everything, you know.
I didn't like screw up your podcast or anything, man. We've just been laughing.
Oh, dude, that means we're having a good time. It's a good conversation. Those are always the best episodes. The best stuff comes from it. So I appreciate the conversation and everything, man. And, you know, I look forward to having you on the show again. You know, we got to keep updating what's going on.
You already know. Just let me know and I'm here. Anything for that, bro. I love you, Chad.
I love you too, Cruz. You know I got you, man. Well, before we move on to the next topics, where can the people find you online, especially my new listeners?
I mean, on Instagram, it's StoneheadNM. And that's basically where I really spend majority of the time.
Okay.
I have the YouTube, that's Stonehead New Mexico as well. And that's kind of what I do. Those two things.
Simple, easy peasy. So if you're not simple on Instagram, you can at least catch them on YouTube.
Yeah, one or the other.
Yeah, one or the other. Dope, man. Well, I appreciate it, man. And, you know, we're going to move on to the next conversations. And again, if you guys are out there, go ahead and give them a follow. Go check out those reviews and see what kind of fire is in the state. So, we're going to move on to the next conversation. It's going to be talking about MedMen and getting shut down in California. It's not by the government. They pretty much got shut down by themselves. And this is actually going to be like kind of a catalyst to talk about, you know, New Mexico too, and what's happening here, because they lost a lot of stores in California. So MedMen is down to 2 stores in California. My listeners, if you're not too sure who MedMen is, they're what's called a multi-state operator, big corporate company. Actually, I believe they have companies in Canada too, and they're actually on the stock market in the Canadian side. So they're on the stock market. They're one of the biggest cannabis companies in the world. They have had a lot of dispensaries around the nation, but in California, they're down to 2. They just left the Arizona and Nevada market completely, so they're no longer in those 2 markets. As far as I know, they're not in New Mexico, but we have our own MSOs here from other places that I'll touch on here in a little bit. But the only places that have MedMen now in California is San Diego and in Los Angeles near LAX, near the airport. And that's it. I guess they were all over the state at one time, you know, trying to pop up everywhere, and they couldn't sell their mids, you know, and that's one of the issues that we're running into with these corporate companies is they're not putting out quality product. It's Walmart grade or less. And I'm sure you've seen it on the internet, you know, MedMen and everything like that. I mean, what's your experience with them?
See, to be completely honest with you, I don't know much about them or anything like that. But that's kind of where I'm seeing the market going everywhere, is pretty much these giant companies aren't going to be able to sustain like that. The people that are being more successful right now are all the like super small batch people. Those ones are the ones that are really, really thriving up and up right now.
Yeah.
Because people are looking for good quality.
Exactly. And that's one thing that I've noticed too, because, you know, a lot of people in newer markets, they're just trying to get whatever they can, especially when we were medical, you know. In medical, it was, we were given what we had. We didn't have anything else. We had 34 producers at our peak, or 35 producers at our peak. And that was it. You know, like, it's nothing compared to what we have today. And so we really didn't have much to choose from. So once we went legal, people were getting what they could. And there was a little bit of a shortage. You know, there wasn't much, I wouldn't say shortage, there wasn't much selection. I got so tired of freaking whatchamacallit. I don't even want to remember the name. Slurricane. Ugh, I got so tired of that. Anytime I see that now, I'm like, no thanks. I've had more than enough slurricane. I got tired of it. And we ran into that, you know, but people weren't being picky. You know, you were finding expensive cannabis that was subpar, mids, et cetera, et cetera. But now we're hitting into our second year. We're starting to get into the more mature market phase of our industry. And now the consumer is starting to change. And it's not just in New Mexico, it's everywhere. Canada, California, Colorado. Colorado market's down about 40-50%, if not more. Arizona, I'm not too sure. They seem to, they're an interesting industry, say the least. I don't know if you've been to Arizona or checked anything out over there. I think Nevada is going through the same thing too. In Canada, they have like these huge grow facilities that are shutting down. Some are like switching to like Lilies so they can make a profit, because it's harder to have quality cannabis with a larger grow, you know. Like, yeah. Once you have thousands upon thousands of plants, your quality goes down, because it's harder to ensure that every single plant is going to be all right, because it's a consumer thing. It's not like a flora plant where you can spray whatever the hell you want on it because no one's eating it or drinking it or whatever, or smoking it. So that's kind of like what we're seeing now. And these big corporate companies, like you said, they're going to be struggling. And they went from 12. They went last year, the recent closures, they had 12 closures. So now they're down to 2. And I don't know what their prior closures were before that, so how many they started with, but 12 stores shutting down is actually pretty alarming. You know, because here in New Mexico, the big guys, they're shutting down like maybe 1, 2, et cetera, here and there. But shutting down 12 is actually really, really alarming. And the fact that they got out of 2 state markets alone. So I don't know how many states they have left that they're in. It might just be California and maybe Canada and some other place. But we might see them sell, because they were supposed to merge with the Chicago company, but that didn't happen. And it was, one of the things was due to the fact that their stock tumbled like 40%, 47% since, like, you know, its inception. And like, that's terrible once your stock goes that far. So I kind of feel it was a mix of a few things for MedMen themselves. You know, the fact that they couldn't keep up the quality, and the fact that they're in 2 different countries, and then their stock market just plummeted. And the issue about the stock market on that one is it's in Canada. So you have to go to the Canadian side stock market to invest in it. It's kind of a pain in the ass, and not everybody wants to do it, because I tried to do it and I was like, that's not fun. So that's another issue. So we're heading to a federal either deschedule, reschedule kind of phase in all industries. We might start seeing that in the United States if that happens. There was rumors that the DEA was supposed to come out with their decision a couple weeks ago. I'm not sure now when they're going to come out with their decision. There has been some pushback from certain people within it, come to find out, from, I guess, sources within the DEA, that I'm not too sure what's going to happen. You know, from what it sounds like, they may just keep it Schedule 1. And to be honest, and I hate to say this, we might be better off with Schedule 1 here in New Mexico for at least another 4 or 5 years, so we can become a stable market before that happens. Because if that happens, that's going to wreck us here. I'm not going to say it's going to end our industry, but it's going to do a lot of damage to some businesses here. I mean, I'm sure you've seen some issues already in the state on your side. Yeah. So, but I really wanted to talk about that because it leads into New Mexico. New Mexico, we have a couple of MSOs here that are just, they're not doing good. And it's all because quality. They can't keep up with quality. Like you said it earlier, there's these small batch farms coming out with just nothing but quality, high grade cannabis. Tastes good, looks good, smokes good. You know, it's not just $5 a gram, you know, or, you know, $100 an ounce, you know, out the door. You know, you're going to pay a little bit more, but you are getting a better experience all around, customer experience, you know, and everything. I mean, what's your experience, you know, trying to find good cannabis, I guess?
So, I mean, at least around the state, right?
Yeah.
Around the state, it was difficult for, I would say, it just recently got good to where you can go into a dispensary, because there are some people that they only go into dispensaries, right? They only trust these lab results. And so they feel comfortable going into these dispensaries.
Yeah.
So that's perfectly fine. So now it's to the point where I'd happily walk up into one and I know who I'm looking for, right?
Yeah.
And because their flower is so good, I don't have to go searching far and wide anymore to get good flower. I'm content with that flower. Maybe not the hash, right? But we're going to continue chasing that. But the flower, I'm happy for, you know, because everything's really, really advancing. And we're getting to the times where all this fire is going to continue going and going. But it goes down to also the dispensary owners being more picky. Because at a time, there was, like you're saying, these $5 freaking grams and out the door and all this and that. And that's whenever they're just trying to get, you know, their dollar, which is fine. They have a business to maintain, right? They have to do what they can to like feed their family. But there are these dispensaries that are special out there that actually care and really try to bring in nothing but great product, because they are just as picky as some people, right? So those dispensaries are the people that I like. That's what I do. I want to try and be like, hey, these dispensaries are really, really good. These ones are the ones that you should be at, because they carry this and this and this, or because they have, I know, like, oh, we're bringing in a new company. Oh, I know it's going to be good, because like they're just as picky. So
yeah,
people that have you, we're going to know who they are because we talk about them, right? Because that's kind of what I like to do. And that's, I gain nothing from it. I just want the state to be aware that, hey, look, we do have some really, really great products around.
Yeah. Because, you know, I sit on Twitter sometimes, you know, that's where I look for certain news articles. I'm not saying like information, like people's things, but news articles for some reason pop on there first. Then they go to other places afterwards. Don't know why, but it's a thing. So I go there and, you know, I'll just type in New Mexico cannabis and see what's being said. And I'll run into comments. And of course, you run into people like, oh, this is mids, this and that. And even on Instagram side today, actually, I ran into a High Times article. And in one of the articles that actually I found through one of these, and I went to the comments. And, you know, of course, there's people like, oh, New Mexico has nothing but mids. Oh, the weed sucks. And what they're talking about is Sutherland Park and certain areas that border Texas that just, they're getting stuff out the door. You know, they don't care. You know, they're just catering to Texans all day. And that's pretty much 90 to 95% of their customer base. And so they're just catering to what their customer base wants. And their customer base does not care. They just want the cheapest price out the door. Don't get me wrong. There's going to be those very few select Texans who do like quality, but they're in the minority these days. You know what I mean? Like it's kind of muted out by the people just wanting their cannabis. I can't blame them. We were the same way when Colorado went legal. You know, there's people going to Colorado weekly to go get, you know, cannabis and stuff like that. So, you know, we were in the same boat, just getting whatever we can, $100 ounces, but we learn better. We know better, and the consumer base is changing on that front. And, you know, like we said, it shows, you know, like these smaller dispensaries that are really caring about craft, and they're caring about, you know, supporting local farms, because out of state cannabis is an issue here. And so those people are doing good. You know, it's very, there's only one out of state, you know, MSO that's doing good in New Mexico, and that's actually Dark Matter Top Crop. You know, simply because they went and got quality. You know, they didn't follow the same suit that these other guys did. They said, well, we'll just make our money, you know, selling, you know, bulk everything. You know, we're gonna make our money do that way. Well, that only works for so long. You know, so they at least figured that out. But the rest of them didn't seem to really figure out that if you get quality, you're gonna get more sales for a longer term. So I think that's one thing that smaller mom and pops are figuring out now, because we have a couple of micros that actually just became one of the big guys. Green Fuego, they just got their big boy license not long ago. So congrats to them, you know.
Congratulations to them for sure. Yeah.
Yeah.
Shout out to Eric, Sandy, and everyone at Green Fuego.
Yeah, 100%. You know, they deserve it. You know, they're putting out fire, you know, the green fuego. And, you know, they're scaling up their grow. So good for them. You know, we'll see how big the grow gets and everything and, you know, see what they do in the future. So congratulations to them. And that's what the micro licenses were really for, just starting out area, kind of figure it out. But we'll see where that little sweet spot of, okay, how many plants is too many plants? We know about 10,000 plants. It's kind of too many plants. You know, is it 5,000? Is it 2,000? Is it 3,000? You know, like, you know, we're really going to figure out probably in the next couple of years where that sweet spot is of where you want to be to keep that craft quality, but also able to keep it consistently coming out. You know what I mean? And I'm sure that, you know, for you, it's hard to find, you know, the consistency coming out all the time, but sometimes that's the fun of it, you know, like looking for it and waiting.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. It's just, that's why if you love hash, you understand just constantly chasing, right? But yeah. People, like, obviously there's a lot of stuff out of state that you can get that's really, really good, right? And I'm constantly looking for that too. But whenever you're trying to find it in the state, you might find something special. And yeah. There are some people that are really special out here. So it's good to find them and give them the, like, oh, dang, you don't, let's talk about this product right here because it's actually really, really good. And we'll venture out. Like I said, we're doing out-of-state stuff now, so.
Yeah, that's dope. And I'm glad you're doing the out-of-state stuff, too. You know, it really highlights, you know, where we stand as an industry here in New Mexico because you can compare it to something else. Well, you know, this and this has a similar note to whatever company in New Mexico. Or, oh, okay, this is just as good as whatever company in New Mexico. You know, you can make those distinctions, you know, and help the consumer out more too. And so that's, like, you know, a benefit of, you know, doing out of state stuff. And, you know, he's not buying it from a dispensary in New Mexico.
No.
You know, they come from other sources, so it's not coming from a dispensary. If, you know, some of you watching, you're thinking that. I'm glad that, you know, you're able to try those different products and everything, and you're doing those reviews, because it shows these other companies here in the state too what we are up against as well, not just as a consumer to see where we are. And even maybe some of these hash companies could be like, oh crap, I need to get my shit to that, you know, to that level. Cause I've seen a lot of stuff from out of state. It's just fire. I mean, from all over the community and everything, you know, not just, you know, from yourself or anyone else, you know, there's great cannabis from all over the nation when it comes to the hash.
Yeah.
So the hash game, especially the rosin, it's an interesting change, I guess, from what I would say, from what it was about 5 years ago, you know? So it's cool to see that. But I guess we got off topic again. No big deal. we always do that around here. And that's why, you know, we bring it back. But we'll just finish off. You know, there's really not much talk left about the corporate companies and everything like that. I just wanted to let people know that this is what's going on, you know, and here in New Mexico, we're starting to see, we actually never really went down the corporate route on our rec side. We were there on the medical side. So we didn't want to continue on that route. And it seems that we've made our choice, because if you look at the sales numbers to all the, you know, MSO big corporation companies, their sales are down. Some of them may still be in the hundreds of thousands, but they were making $200,000 a month to $500,000 a month, you know, April 1st, 2022. And now you see down there to $100,000. Well, that's a lot of loss. So you can see why some of these pump companies have, you know, gotten rid of 100 employees on the MedMen side. Some of their, you know, CEO type people have only lasted about 7 months. Before they quit or were let go. So it just seems like, you know, there's also bad decisions being made from that front. And usually with these big companies, that seems to be the issue in cannabis. You know, they just make really bad decisions, because this isn't soda. This isn't cereal. This isn't beer. You know, this is a total different industry, and, you know, people are still trying to figure it out. And it seems that this big corporation model just doesn't seem to work. The consumers don't want it. And I'm fine with that, because we get better quality, you know, on the, hate to compare it, but, you know, similar timelines and historical things happen with the beer and wine stuff. We only allowed craft breweries within probably the last 30 years or so. You know, before that, it was just the big guys. That's all you had. That's why so many people drink Bud Light and Coors and all these big corporation companies, because that's all there was. There was no Santa Fe brewery or any of that, you know, back in the day. That's fairly new. So, you know, we're kind of doing the opposite of what they did. We're starting out with craft involved with the corporation, and we're starting to find out that people don't want Walmart of weed. And that's really cool. And I hope New Mexico can keep that trend. But one thing we're going to have to do that's going to help us fix the issue in Sunland Park is start educating the Texans more, because the more that the education that we give to the Texans, the more quality that they'll want. And then we won't have as many mids in like Sunland Park and areas like that, because there's mids all over that place. You know, you can find high quality at certain places. There's like smaller spots like Smoke and Rods, you know, where they do try to focus on local and craft and quality, but they're on a different side of town. And actually, I use that as a catalyst to jump into our next conversation here, because we're going to be talking about Little Dubai or Sunland Park, you know, heavily in this last part of the conversation. But before we move on, do you have anything on the last conversation, Cruz?
I do not.
Awesome. I just wanted to make sure, you know, there was nothing that you didn't want to bring up, you know, me like just cutting you off. So as you guys know, I call Sunland Park Little Dubai. I'm sure Cruz knows that, you know, everyone that watches my show knows that's what I call it. And you know, there's some issues in Little Dubai that's going on, and most of it is coming from the smaller retail spots there, because Sunland Park is built weird. And you've been to Sunland Park many times, right, Cruz?
A few times.
Yeah, a few. So you know where like where all the main stuff is, like, you know, where the racetrack is and the theme park and all the other cool dispensaries?
Yes.
Okay, so if you just go past the bridge over there, the Texans don't go past the bridge. So they all stay in that little area there. But if you go past the bridge and you take a right, that's actually the rest of Sunland Park. And that's where actually all the residents go. And that's where most of them spend their money, the 17,000 people that live there. That's where most of them kind of hang out. Don't get me wrong, they will go across the bridge. But the Texans are really the ones by that bridge in that area, just for the simple fact that, you know, you have Western Playland there, you have the race casino there, and then you have cannabis right there. So I mean, there's a bunch there for them to do. And then yeah. I believe they're adding an adult theme park thing over there on that side too. So that side is going to be heavy with, like, you know, stuff for people to do, while the other side doesn't. And I think that's the issue that Little Dubai is running into, because the smaller retails that are away from that area are having a hard time making money. I look at some of the sales. Top Crop or Dark Matter over there makes about $1 million a month. And then you have Field of Dreams. They make about $500,000 a month. Then you got places, you know, that, you know, aren't doing as good. They're making about $90,000 a month to maybe $50,000 a month. But that's before you cross the bridge. Once you cross the bridge, it drops even more to $15,000, $30,000 a month, $5,000 a month. And that's really the issue that they're talking about right here. Have you seen like anything similar like in Clovis? Because I know Clovis is, you know, an interesting setup too.
No, over here we're a border town, so we do get Texans like that. The numbers are pretty steady around here. There has been like obviously a little bit of drop, especially with like pricing going down and all that, and the market like dropping a little bit. So that's whenever we're seeing a little bit of these numbers dropping. But that's really what it comes down to. I know some shops say that they are struggling a little bit more to get some place, getting customers in. So it's you're starting to see that bubble burst, and it's here.
Yeah. That bubble bursted a while back, and you know, starting to take names and take lives. Well, company lives, not real lives. You know, it's starting to take people out of the industry. And you know, that's unfortunate, but that's a part of the industry too. You know, we're going to have winners. We're going to have losers. We're going to have people that started out small and got bigger. We're going to have people that started big and lose, you know, and we're seeing that, you know, on a really big scale right now. And
yeah,
it's sad that that's happening, but at the same time, that's business. And that's what we all decided to get into, unfortunately. And that's one of the realities that we have to understand when we get into this, is there is a chance that I might fail. And if I do, what am I going to do? You know, on top of if or when I do succeed, what am I going to do? You need to have those both kind of, you know, figured out. And I think some people didn't really think of that getting into this. Because I said, the Little Dubai sold $50 million since we, you know, adult sales started. But, you know, not everybody is reaping that $57 million, you know, benefit that's coming in. And, you know, it could be a mixture of maybe these smaller places that don't have a lot of sales, maybe they just don't have quality. You know, maybe the quality of cannabis that they have just isn't there, or maybe they're not catering to their customer base. Because most of those places cross the bridge, they're catering to the local residents of Sunland Park, maybe Santa Teresa, you know, and places that are probably, you know, closer within the vicinity of that, you know, those little areas within there.
Yeah.
So they're probably catering to that because they don't want to go to the super busy side of town, or across the bridge where it's super busy, where if you go to Dark Matter, it's slammed all day. You know, or if you go to Field of Dreams, it's probably slammed all day too. And They just want to get their cannabis and go. And sometimes they have a dispensary right down the street from their house. And so it's just easier for them. But there's only 17,000 people that live there. So these people that are on that side of the bridge, you're going to have to get creative. You're going to have to figure out ways to bring Texans to that side of town. Give them a reason to cross that bridge, to bypass those bigger dispensaries. They need a reason, a product, a pop-up, an event, something. I know Smoking Rods did one a while back. It was like a skate and toke, I think it was. It was like a cannabis dispensary crawl where you're on your skates and you skate to different dispensaries. I mean, I was like, that's kind of cool. I don't own skates, but, you know, that'd be fun. So, I mean, I don't know. Would you do something like that?
Would I do something like that? I'm always open to doing something, man. Or at least trying it once, right?
Yeah.
I'm always, that's, why not? Why not?
Yeah.
Let's just go for it.
Give it a shot, you know, like you'll never know.
You might find yourself having the best time of your life and you didn't even know it and you wanted to say no at the beginning. Just give it a shot.
Yeah, exactly. You know, there's events, you know, going on cannabis wise, you know, in the state all the time. So if you see one, go check it out. You know, maybe there's something cool there. Maybe there's something that'll be life changing for you. You know, maybe you'll find a new hobby.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, look at where this ended up for me. You know what I mean? I have a great list of friends and family now. That's just, we're all in a community together.
Yeah, so. 100%. You know, and you know, without you getting out of your comfort zone and wanting to do this, you wouldn't be where you are right now on the show, and you know, with the following that you have, and you know, with the notoriety that you have now. So you know, I congratulate you, man. You started from, you know, nothing to, you know, building up to where you are now.
Talking about, Chad, congratulations to you and all you do, man. You're the advocate. I don't do anything, bro. I take the reviews very seriously, right? But I'm having fun doing it, bro. You're doing a lot of work. You're doing a lot of work, right?
Yeah.
So but recognize what you're doing, brother.
Well, I appreciate it, man. You know, I really do. And, you know, I try to. But, you know, there's certain times where I feel like I'm talking to a wall. But, you know,
a lot of the times you are. That's what I'm saying. I commend you.
Yeah, I know. And it sucks. But, you know, I do it for the people. And the people are starting to slowly come out and be like, okay, I do need to do something. Because, you know, like, I'm only one guy, dude. You know, I can only do so much. But I really appreciate that. You know, it makes the effort worthwhile when you get a thanks every now and then. So I appreciate that, brother. So... But yeah, that's really all I had for the little Dubai thing. I just really wanted to bring that up and, you know, kind of give my analytical side of what I think is happening. I've been told by people that are from, born and raised on the park, that bridge thing, you know, it's a thing that the Texans just don't cross it. There's really no reason for them to go there. So a lot of the shops that are past that just don't do good. So it's an unfortunate thing, but that's just the way the city's built. The city's going to have to figure out a way to get people past that bridge. Yeah. and the business owners, you know, they're going to have to come up with something cool, you know, maybe surprise us. That'd be cool. So, but anyway, do you have anything before we get out of here?
Just thanks. Thank you for having me, man. Thank you to your producer. You know, anytime you guys want me back on the show, I'll always be available for you guys.
I appreciate it, man. And, you know, who knows? Maybe I ask you later on the show. I love hanging out with you and talking with you, man. You know, it's always a good time and always good conversations, you know. And I can always count on you being honest.
Of course.
So, oh, and before we go, Bright Green here in New Mexico, if you guys know, they're the only federally legal grow in the state. They actually applied to, I guess, study other Schedule 1 and 2 substances. I didn't really dig too far into it because I contacted them for an interview to see if they wanted to talk sometime and kind of hear from their side what's going on. I know a lot of you have questions. I have questions because they're not ran by the CCD. They're literally a federal legal entity grow. So it'd be kind of cool to hear from their side what's going on and what they got going on. I just wanted to put that out there. I contacted them and I'll let you guys know if I hear back from them. If I hear back, cool. If not, I don't know what I can do. So, but yeah, we'll see if they come on the show and talk to me sometimes, but make sure you guys like, follow, subscribe, whatever you got to do to ensure you don't miss an update. All right. So I'll be here next week again. And Cruz, thank you one more time, man. It's always great. And I will see you guys next week. All right.